Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining us. I am very pleased to have with me in studio two people extremely dedicated to preservation of this great planet of ours, who will be talking to us about something that impacts the very quality of all of our lives, clean air. Please join me in welcoming Sue Cotty from Pima Association of Governments and Beth Gorman from the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. And I think from this point, I'll be calling them PAG and DEQ, or just saying their titles will be half the show. So welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I have lots of questions, and hopefully you have some great tips for how people can help be a part of the solution so that we continue to enjoy those blue skies and that clean air that we have in Pima County. So, Sue, let's start with you. What is your role at PAG in terms of air quality and some of your responsibilities? What do you do at PAG all day? A lot.
I'm a senior air quality planner at PAG, and I've been there about 7 years. And my job is to do air quality planning. And also, I do modeling for the transportation plans that PAG is that does the planning for that, the RTA and the improvements in our transportation system. I also do greenhouse gas modeling and a greenhouse gas inventory for the area, and do outreach and try to promote clean air in our publications and our reports and that type of thing.
Really, really important work that I sometimes think we all, myself included, take for granted. We just breathe the air. We're not thinking about it. We love the blue skies. We're not thinking about it. Beth, it's a perfect segue for your role at DEQ and some of your responsibilities. And why should we care? Tell us about why should we care about clean air?
Well, I've been involved in environmental issues and air quality issues since 1990 at DEQ.
Holy
I know, it's like I was just a little baby when
I
they
know,
hired
she started
me.
At 20. That's great to know.
But it's such a critical issue. And I do the public education, the outreach for our department. And we go to talk to kindergarten all the way up through senior citizens to try to spread the word, because I think people just don't even, they don't really think about the air, and it's so critical. It really is. We take over 20,000 breaths a day, and that encompasses about 3,000 gallons of air every day.
Huge. And people really don't stop and think about that. I mean, it's a big issue. And when Sue was saying she plans for air quality, this is the quiet work of our taxpayers' money doing something for not just the good of Pima County, but for the greater good of the planet. I mean, my mantra these days is we're just one planet. So let's keep it clean. And it's the work that you do to raise awareness. So.
Well, and that's an excellent point, is it's just one planet and there's only one atmosphere that we have. And it's a very small amount of air and we're not getting new air.
Right. Nobody's pumping in new air for us.
No.
Whatever's there is there.
Exactly.
Which is why the rainforests matter. Always have to put that plug in, because yes, they do really help us. With
They're our lungs. The rainforest
they
is our lungs.
Lungs. I love that. And I'll remember that. So let's talk for a minute at the micro level. Pima County air. One of the quotes from the information that you provided, air quality in the region remains healthy, but ozone and particulate matter remain a concern in the region due to periodic elevated levels. So, Sue, tell us about, report on that, what you can, what happens. And I think it would be a really good idea to say, what is the ozone? People think there's a difference between the ozone layer, and you're talking about ozone levels. Is that right?
Yes, that is true. The ozone level that we're talking about is an air pollutant. It is a result of a chemical reaction where two precursors, volatile organics and NOx, which are nitrogen oxides, combine in sunlight to produce an ozone, which is a pollutant, which is a lung irritant, and is particularly harmful for young children, older adults, and also people with pre-existing type of diseases, lung diseases or heart diseases. The ozone layer is a beneficial type of ozone, which is high up in the atmosphere, and it protects us from the damaging rays of the sun. So that is, and there has been a lot of talk in recent years about the destroying the ozone layer, but that is a high up protective layer versus the ground level ozone that we're talking about here as being a pollutant and a lung irritant.
So when you talk about the ozone as being the pollutants, what happens? What causes the pollutants? I think that's the part where we can work into a call to action. And what happens to make the air, you know, become more toxic and the ozone alerts go out? What happens?
These ingredients, we call them, or precursors, come from actions produced by humans. Transportation is one where we have these precursors. You drive your car, different solvents and things are used in paints and in industries and things like that. These are components that go together under a chemical reaction in order to produce ozone. So it's this ground-level ozone is a result of human actions. There's also a component, though, from plants. Plants do produce some of these volatile organics, things like our pine trees and our creosote. They also emit these chemicals, which is part of our desert, but there's many things that humans do that we can control in order to reduce these subunits or these components that go into making ozone.
And it's interesting to me, the thread that I seem to have on my show, the national show or this show. I had a man last week from California talking about preventing autism, and he was talking about the importance of what we put in the air and highlighting that, because if you're getting your yard sprayed with chemicals for bugs, or if you're putting radon or whatever that stuff is, I don't use it anymore, for weeds, whatever those things are.
The Roundup.
Right. It all goes somewhere. And we know it goes to the air.
Right.
So Beth, part of what you do in terms of alerting people, so people, older people or children with asthma or anybody with breathing conditions might say, wow, I'm really having trouble breathing today. It's not something you can always see. If the wind is up, you can.
Mm-hmm.
What does your department do in terms of notifying people very actively, and how can people learn about what's happening with the air?
That's a really good point, because we do have problems with another pollutant called particulate matter. Tends to be kicked up by winds. And you're right, you can see that. When that's happening, you can see, we lose our beautiful mountain views. The ground-level ozone that Sue was just talking about, it's invisible in the concentrations that we have in this area. You can't see it. But it's out there, and it's as you breathe it, and especially if you have asthma, if you have bronchitis, emphysema, any kind of lung disease, you're breathing it, and it's going to really affect your breathing, make it very challenging. And what people can do is we monitor the air quality in our department. We have 18 different monitoring sites located all over eastern Pima County. And many of those sites, the data is available electronically, right up to the hour, about 10 minutes after the hour. You can go on our website, the airinfonow.org website, and you can get up to the hour air pollution information. So you can track it yourself. If for some reason you can't do that, I can send you emails through our advisory system. You just sign up in our department again at our website, or you can call me at our department and I'll put you on my air quality advisory list and let you know.
And it really does help when I see them, when I'm, if I'm in a position where I'm not at meetings and I see them come out, I try to repost them on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And we have a very active Twitter site. And if you tag Pima County, if you tag air quality, if you tag Tucson, people pick it up, because there's someone you love that this matters to.
Sure.
An elderly parents,
right,
or if your child has asthma or
exactly,
whatever. So it's really great. And it just says alert, and you just write and tell us what's going on. And I find it really very helpful. Okay. Beth or Sue, you can both answer, because I think it's a perfect segue to more of the conversation. We are so blessed in the Southwest. We really are. You get up every day, and what do you have? Blue skies, beautiful blue skies. And I wrote in the blog that I'm going to put out about what you're doing, even when the monsoons come in, most people think it's beautiful. It isn't like, oh gosh, here come the monsoons. The blue sky darkens, and everybody sees the monsoons coming, and we know we're going to get rain. So how many days a year does Pima County have clean air quality?
Well, most of the time, we have excellent air quality. We really do. And it's over 300 days out of the year.
Amazing.
It is. It is. Especially for a community our size. A lot of times I get calls, though, people say it looks a little hazy. And it's true. You know, we're seeing less and less rain, unfortunately. And until we get that great rain, you know, it is going to be a little bit of haze because there's a lot of activities that humans do that put these little particles up into the air, and there's vacant land that when it's disturbed for construction, for mines, sand and gravel pits, any of those activities are going to put they're going to break that soil. It has a natural crust. They're going to break that soil, and then anytime there's some winds, it's going to kick it up, and these tiny particles are very, very small, and they stay airborne for a long period of time. So, you know, we do have hazy days once in a while, but most of the time our air quality is in the good range.
It's those blue skies. And Sue, another perfect segue. There's a lot of activities that both DEQ and PAG are doing to be proactive in terms of ongoing education for the community. And you're working together this year again to inform people about clean air, starting with me. But this is a first, I think, about you're doing an air quality forum. And I'm going. I think I was one of the first ones to sign up because I'm Mrs. Green, but I want to educate myself so that I can then educate other people when I do public speaking. Do you want to talk about that forum and why people should listen to the show and go sign up right away, because the deadline is June 13th and today's the 11th?
Yes, thank you so much for mentioning that. The Air Quality Forum is going to be held downtown in the Public Library Conference Room. It is a free forum, and there's going to be a variety of discussions and presentations on many different topics. We'll start out with talking about the air quality in Pima County and also in Arizona. Also talk about regional haze issues, which affects particularly our national areas, our national parks, Class 1 areas, which we have several within a very short distance around Tucson. Then we're going to be looking at health aspects of air pollution to kind of tie it in, and why we want to get across to people that why it is important to care about your air, because it affects the health of the public. Then we're going to bring in different sectors to talk about how the actions that they do in different industries, how that is going to affect air quality and what type of programs that they have. We have representatives from the transportation sectors. We have industry sectors. And we also have several University of Arizona professors coming to talk about climate change. We also have local representatives from Pima County, City of Tucson, and Tucson Water, where they will be presenting information on their various programs on how to reduce emissions through their various programs and changes to their operating systems. So it's going to be a very interesting program. It's going to cover a wide range of topics, but the general focus is how all of these different areas affect our air quality in Pima County and in the state.
I hope it's really successful. I mean, I really hope that people come, because if you tell 100 people, then they might tell 10 people who might tell 10 people, because it really does matter more and more. This Saturday I'm having on Dr. Wally Brecker, who is literally the first person that ever coined the phrase climate science and climate change. And that was, you weren't probably not even born yet, Beth. That was over 40 years ago. So it was like, it's just, I had a chance to meet with him when he was here in Tucson. And it is all about the air and how it affects everything and what the air carries to the oceans. Mm-hmm. And you have ocean acidification. So one of the things that impressed me and made me sign up when I got the notice is that it is very comprehensive. Do you think that people who are going to present are going to be able, because there are two kinds of conferences, one that speaks to the experts, and others that speak to the consumer? Is this going to be one where the consumer can hear the show and say, I'm retired or I'm on vacation that week? If I go, I'm going to be able to understand the content that's presented. I think that's a really important question.
Yes, it is. It's going to be, there'll be information presented on air quality. They'll give levels of air quality. Perhaps that's probably the most technical aspect of it.
But everybody can read a chart.
Right, exactly. But it's going to be geared towards the general public because the invitation went out to general public, people who are in government positions.
And are the libraries helping promote it? Because my friend is the head of the libraries now, and I think I should send it to her. I mean, that's where people, attendance at the libraries is up markedly. So would it be a good place to have it there? Let me ask you about one thing. The Arizona Passenger Rail is going to be a guy named Scott Omer.
Unfortunately, a day or so ago, he sent his regrets.
But sorry to bring that
unfortunately,
up.
You mentioned the one person, but his associate is going to come and give the presentation.
That's great, so that we'll have the content, because I think people, you don't know how many people say to me, wouldn't it be great to be able to get on a train and go up to Phoenix?
To Phoenix.
It would be for me, uh-huh. And they have the light rail up there, which is really working, so yeah. We don't care who the presenter is, we just care that the content's going to be there, and I think that is really what mattered. So how do people register?
You can go to our website, which is PimaCleanAir.com, which is also a site where you can find out tips and ideas on how to keep our air healthy, different things, actions and things we can do, but you can also register there. Also wanted to mention that if you can't make it to the forum, these presentations will be posted on our website after the forum, so you can view some of these PowerPoint presentations
and
at your leisure.
People will. I mean, our biggest area of growth for Mrs. Green World is in podcast downloads. People like to listen in their own time. If they can't be there, then they want to be able to have an opportunity.
Sure.
So Beth, you're going to be a moderator.
Yes.
And I see that. And is your department helping to promote this in your various outlets and connections and liaisons that you have in the community?
I sent it out to my advisory listserv, and these are people who have contacted me. There's over 400 people on my listserv, and I sent it out to them and got lots of response back. And hopefully the numbers went up. I don't know. I haven't talked to Sue. I know we had, you had at least 50 people registered. I'm not sure what it is now, but we're hoping it's a great group, and we're doing what we can to help publicize it as well.
Okay. You talked a little bit about what people can do, and this is a call to action show always. I think this is great. Why should I care, and what can I do about it? Can you start, Beth and Sue, give us some examples of what can people do? I believe more people care than not. It's just tell me what to do. Tell me why I should care and tell me what I should do.
Well, hopefully we've told you why you should care.
Now, I hope people hear that because it's the very air we breathe. It's what gives us life. That's a big one. Water should matter more than anything in the world, if you ask me.
I agree. And, the two big pollutants in our region are motor vehicles and also electricity use and electricity generation. So if we try to drive less and we try to reduce and conserve electricity, that's going to go a long way. But there's so many little things that we can do within that. For instance, to drive less, PAG has a wonderful rideshare program.
And you get prizes.
Yes, you do.
That's always an incentive. People love free stuff. Okay, so rideshare, and Ruth is very, very passionate about that. Ruth Hyman.
Yes, Ruth, certainly. And then, just doing whatever you can to drive, to combine your errands into one trip, to plan your trips before you go out there instead of just driving around, maybe I should go here, maybe I should go here. I mean, to think ahead of time. It's going to save you gasoline, save you money, but it's also going to reduce air pollution. And people sometimes think, well, I don't see anything coming out of my tailpipe. I'm not polluting. You are. But it's invisible. So whatever you can do to reduce the amount of driving that you do, make sure your car is maintained. Make sure your tires are properly inflated. Check them at least once a month because that's going to save you gasoline, and it's going to reduce the amount of pollution that goes into the air too.
And I think the important message that you're giving, and I'd like to come back to the planning piece that you do, Sue, is don't think ever that what you do, that what I do personally does not make a difference. Here's one example that you can both comment on. When I'm stopped at a train, and they can be long, I turn my car off. Does that help?
It does. Idling waste gasoline costs money, but in addition to that, you are also creating pollution by burning the gasoline. And you're not going anywhere, so you're really spending money and not accomplishing anything, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah. I have these fantasies about having a sign, because I have the Mrs. Greenmobile, and having a sign and just holding it up if I'm at the headline saying, turn your cars off while we wait, because I think little things like that do matter. And then it continues to raise my consciousness, if that matters. Mm-hmm. And if 10 people stop getting eco-harmful bug spray for their yards, they might tell 10 people and on. So it's those collective things. When you plan, when you say you're a planner for the air quality, can you explain that a little more and what kinds of things you look at and how you help both government, the municipalities, and the general public with, you're kind of looking into the future if you're planning. So explain a little bit more about your role. It's a critical one.
Yes. Well, currently, as Beth mentioned, that the air quality in Pima County is very healthy. And in the past, we've had problems with carbon monoxide and other pollutant. Now, due to many different efforts, in addition to adjusting the way the cars are manufactured and different controls that have been placed on the cars, carbon monoxide is not that much of a problem anymore.
You don't even hear about it much.
Right.
It used to be the buzzword.
Right. But we are a maintenance area, and what that means is we are required by the EPA in order to keep certain programs in place, like RideShare, the program the PDEQ runs. So that was a plan that was developed by PAG as the air quality planning agency, in order to come up with a plan in cooperation with PDEQ in order to reduce our emissions. Ozone, right now we are currently within the federal standards. We meet the regulations. However, EPA is looking to change the standard, and if that should happen, it's possible that Pima County may be in violation of the standard. Mm-hmm. So then PAG would come in again in cooperation with PDEQ and also with the state, and we would do planning in order to figure out how we are going to reduce our ozone levels should they exceed the standard. So that's the planning aspect of it, as far as keeping the air quality within air quality regulations.
That's a huge, massive undertaking. I mean, to just think about that. And I'm sure growth projections for new construction, all of those things have an impact, because then that brings more cars,
right,
and on and on and on. Another thing that we didn't mention that I try to do, there's two things that I think are good takeaways. One is, if we're meeting another couple for dinner or two other couples, we've all been suggesting, let's carpool. We're all going to the same restaurant. We're all kind of on the same route. So I'll pick you up. So there's one car going. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the multipliers of that I think really matter. And another thing is, in our old way of thinking, the old paradigm, everybody thinks you have to meet in person. And I've been doing a lot more phone meetings, mm-hmm, because it's fun to go to Ike's and have coffee. Is it always necessary? It isn't. I mean, I think with our dot-com world, sometimes meeting face-to-face is really good. But I think for business people, think about, can you have that meeting on the phone if you want to see the person? There are many tools, including Skype, that you can have a visual if you feel like seeing them. Mm-hmm. So I think planning meetings more judiciously is another thing that I have found in trying to do my share. And of course, you guys are sitting in the studio. I keep it a tad warm, and I feel like such a martyr. It's like, oh, it's okay to be hot because I'm saving electricity in this weather.
But it's critical. And if we can do that, just drop in the winter, just drop the heat,
put on a sweater,
just 1 degree in the summer, put it up a degree, and your body will get used to that over time. And then maybe you can also put it up another degree. And anything that you can do to conserve electricity is going to help our air quality, too.
And TEP has some great programs coming out, mm-hmm, to help us more with energy efficiency. So what were you going to say?
So water conservation also, right, is, because water in order to pump the water, to distribute the water, to treat the water, all of that takes energy. And again, as we mentioned, that to create energy, there's the air pollution is created. in order to burn
the
fuels.
It's all interconnected.
It is. It's we are one planet. Mm-hmm. We are, and it's Mother Earth is being asked to give more, and we're taking more, and she doesn't have any more to give us. Like, there is a limited supply, so that gets me. Let's talk for a minute about the big challenge for all of us, because I am definitely a mission for preservation of the planet, as your departments are. Very, very noble missions and important roles in terms of the quality of life for all of us. What do you see are some of the challenges for getting the word out? Social media sometimes is a good fit, and sometimes it really isn't, because people have to be looking for a certain thing. So what have been your experiences with social media in terms of, you know, where you are now, how it's working, as opposed to traditional media, radio and TV, which is also, I mean, I feel that it's a really tumultuous time right now where people are trying to find where is that sweet spot that I can reach the consumer that I so desperately want them to get connected with us?
Well, I believe there's a role for all the different types of communications. Facebook, I believe, it appeals to one demographic or to one group of people, perhaps.
Totally
and
agree.
Then radio is another, and then TV is another. So the press, you know, the actual printed press, a lot of people are reading, even though maybe they don't get the paper, I don't know, but they do read perhaps the paper online, also publications, newsletters, that type of thing. They all, I think, serve a role in getting the word out to people on not only air quality, but other types of issues, too.
It's a Johnny Appleseed approach. Beth, what would you say?
Well, and we just have always kind of done a shotgun approach. Just, I mean, we're out there at community events.
Every community event that I go to, you're there.
Yeah, we've got booths.
It's good.
And so we do a lot of just face-to-face.
Public education.
And we're out in schools, too. And, you know, you go to a classroom and there's, unfortunately, now used to be 25, now there's sometimes 40 students, but those, they take the information home, they share it with their family members, they share it with people that they love and care about, and you know, the information gets out that way as well. So we do that a lot. The county has been kind of slow, I would say, getting into social media. We do have a communications department that is, and we've got Facebook now finally, but we don't have access department-wide, but we do work with our communications department to get information out that way too. So,
and there is no silver bullet. I'm glad that you both said that. Mm-hmm. And I call it a Johnny Appleseed approach. You spread a lot of seeds around and you see which ones
That's nicer than the shotgun approach.
But it's okay. I have to say something green. I mean, it's really important because what you're doing, really, I do think there are more people that want to know, that are very aware because of the things that have happened just in this country alone with tornadoes and wildfires and unheard of winds. So there's a lot getting people's attention that take it out of the political arena and make it more about me. Because I think when you make it about me, that's what people say to me all the time when I'm saying something. Why should I care? Okay, we have about 2 minutes left, and I'd like to just recap a little bit about the best ways to stay connected, because you can't say that too much. Beth, how do they sign up for your alerts on air quality?
If they can go to our website, which is basically www.pema.gov, and then /DEQ.
It's not hard to find. It isn't.
Yeah,
it
just
really
do
isn't.
Pima County DEQ, yeah, and you'll find it, Department of Environmental Quality. And our air quality advisories, you'll find a little a link for that on our homepage. You could also go to our airinfonow.org website, and there's a way to sign up there as well to get onto our advisory list.
Okay, that's great. And Sue, PAG has a Facebook page. It's Pima Association of Governments.
We have several, actually.
You do. You have Clean Air Starts With Me. You have Clean Water Starts With Me.
Yes.
You have Sun Rideshare.
Yes.
You have Clean Cities.
Yes.
So you're really going in the social media route.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quickly, Southwest Air Quality Forum, June 18th. At the Joel Valdez Main Library downtown. And if they want to, if people are listening and want information, they can always contact Gina at Mrs. Green's World, or they can check on the PAG Facebook page.
Right, PimaCleanAir.com.
PimaCleanAir.com. Yes. You guys, thank you so much for being here today, taking your time, and for what you do to make the planet a better place for all of us. I really appreciate the work you do. Thanks for being with us. Make it a great green week, everybody, and thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world.
Thank you.